Just want to take a little time, share quickly on grandparents, and take some time too. We've got communion, and just trust God shares what He's wanting to with us here today. You know, being a grandparent is really awesome, isn't it? And I love our kids too. You know, we've been blessed, I'm sure you guys have, with kids, your kids, sons and daughters and things. But grandkids come into the mix, and they're just like the cream on top. They're like the sprinkles, man. Go to Culver's, and I got a granddaughter and granddaughters. We take them there, and, you know, they get one scoop, and they get, you know, I always say, what are you going to get? Cookie dough, cookie this, cookie that, and sprinkles, you know. They put sprinkles on it. So grandkids are like the sprinkles of life, you know. They're just that little extra on top, and they're lovely. But to have grandkids, you know, you got to have kids that have get married and then have babies, and the family grows. Amen. The family grows. I look around, and I'm sure Dean is the same. You know, and we talk about it after an event with our family and all, and I just look around, and I say, how I am blessed with the kids and grandkids running around. Oh, yeah, they try at times, you know, but not as bad as your kids did. Because they listen to Grandma and Grandpa. And they want to, you know, take care of Grandma. We got the youngest one, Addison. Bless her heart. She just breaks her neck to look at me. I don't know if it's just me or anybody, but, you know, she kind of, Melissa will walk in front of us, our house there, you know, in the evening trying to calm her down, like, okay, it's time to go to sleep, you know. So last night she was out there, and she's like, I came out the door here, and she was at this end of the driveway area, at this end of the yard, and she's trying to get her to do something, I don't know. And as I step out on the porch and I'm looking over at her, she's at this angle, Addison catches that I'm out there and I'm waving to her. And boy, her head, she's just like, you know, I think she was facing like this, and her head is like this, you know, because Grandpa's back there, you know. She's like, Grandpa. But all of our grandkids, you know, are just wonderful. We have just a special time with each and every one of them. And like our kids, as I'm sure you're aware of, anybody that had more than one child, even though they might come from the same mom and dad, they're all different. We had four kids and totally four different people. And grandkids are like that. And there's a specialness in each and every one. But to be a grandpa or a grandmother, it's an awesome, awesome privilege. It talks about in Proverbs to where grandchildren are the crowns of aged men or women. You know, our grandkids, as we look at these young lives, being the crown, this is the Amplified saying it this way, but grandchildren are the crown of aged men. And you can put a slash, and women. That's when you kind of look at, I think, the fruits of the labor. And generally, I know most of the labor has to be given to my wife, of giving the birth to the children, and there to help our kids grow and nurture and develop and do things and become responsible. She was truly with them a whole lot more than I was throughout their early lives. But now we've come into the grandchildren, and they're the crown of the aged men. And then it goes on to say, and the glory of children is their fathers who live godly lives. And the glory of children is their fathers. God speaks highly of families and the heritage, the lineage. And you can go through scriptures and looking in the Old Testament and how the lineages and all. We'll end on a scripture here in the New Testament that deals with a couple of ladies. But it's natural to be proud of your family ancestry, I hope. I hope we can look back. And not saying that it's all been perfect, okay? But you look back at your history. You look back at your lineage. And I tell you what, and I've shared this before, I've been going through some of that stuff with this ancestry stuff online. And, you know, I had some great people in my back history, and I had some scoundrels in my back history. I go, wow, that person, bad, you know, things like that. So we have good and bad and all that. But you look back and you just see. But some of the exciting things that I've seen looking back through some of those things is my great-great-great aunts or great-great whoever, and how involved they were in ministries or churches, and reading some of their obituaries and things that are, you can find, all the stuff is out there, how it's put on, and reading their history of, because for a while there, I came out of a lifestyle of I wasn't churched. My mom and dad didn't take me to church. I really didn't have any understanding of church. looking at some of my lineage and ancestry of those in my family way back in 2, 3, or 4 generations, and seeing some of their involvement, and even some that were reverends or pastors, and some that were ladies that were really hooked into just always there at church and filled with the... This one was talking about she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's doing this and doing that, you know, as she passed away. And I looked at that, and I thought, wow, that's good to know we had some good people on our side, because I just thought we all came out of heathen and nobody went to church, you know? So we find that in our families, but that lineage, that ancestry, we begin to see that. And I think the craziness of it all is, when I was younger, I could care less. How about you guys? Maybe some of you today are saying, I don't care about my past anyway, you know? I know my wife, she gets a kick out of it, I think. Don't you, honey? Periodically, she goes, you know, what are you looking at? And I got my laptop. I might be sitting in the living room on my recliner watching TV, and I got my laptop there. I might have Ancestry.com pulled up, and I'm just going through different things and looking at people and, you know, whatnot. And she just shakes her head at me. I go, this is interesting. I'm somebody. You know? But I also said sometimes back when I first started finding out what good things they did, I feel like a heel. It's like, gosh, what's my leaf going to show when I die? You know, type of a thing. But anyway, it's looking at those history things of families. And as we begin to have our parents, and then our parents have us, and then us have our kids, and our kids have the grandkids, and now I'm fitting that role of what my mom and dad were to them being grandparents. And now I, anybody looked in the mirror recently and said, oh my gosh, I've turned into my mom or my dad? I'm there every morning when I look in the mirror. It's like, ah, you know, here I am. But that's now when I see God's word, it's like, wow, those are crowns, the crown of aged men. I've got many crowns. How about you? Because of my grandkids. So it's natural to be proud, hopefully, of your family history and ancestry. Looking at how families increase. I'm so thankful that Dean wanted a large family. I think we would have actually wanted probably, I don't know for sure, but maybe a few more kids. But, you know, six. I don't know. One was enough. I always tell them, honey, when you were in labor, I was enjoying coffee. I was bearing it with you, man. I was like, I tell you, it's terrible. I go, honey, they took them through those doors that open up, and I go, ah, you hear all that screaming in there, and those doors shut, and you go, okay, coffee time. Okay. I'm with you there in spirit, honey. Do it good. Give one for the team. But, yeah. And, you know, we had our ups and downs as well. A couple of miscarriages and things. Really hurtful. And, yeah. So we've got, we know one little one up there, we named her Lisa. She was perfectly formed, came out, and we were able to hold her, and she wrapped in a blanket, and just perfectly formed, little girl and all. And so it was a hard thing. So we've had some tough times. Didn't understand it. But God does. And so like many of you, you know, we've already got a grandchild that's waiting in, not a grandchild, a child that's there in heaven. Yeah. Little Lisa. Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 46:4. That first was Proverbs 17:6. So Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of aged men. Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age, and this is the thing for us, no matter where you're at in your age of life, young, getting older, older, really old, it says this, that even in your old age, I am He. God is saying this. I am He. And even to your advanced old age, it says in the Amplified, I will carry you. New King James says, even to your old age, I am He, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. Anybody in here got gray hair? Now, some of you ladies, do you guys have gray hair, but you just don't really show it because it's covered up with something? Even to your old age, I am He, and even to the gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. We are all children of God, no matter what age you are. Amen? To him, we are his children. And I like that because I like still being considered a child at 60 or 61. I love that. But he says in the Amplified, I will carry you, and says this also in the New King James, I have made you, I will carry you. Be assured that I will carry you and I will save you. Even in the age of where we're at as grandparents, praise God, we've got somebody there for us. Kind of like as we are there for our grandkids and taking care of them and sometimes putting out to be able to help them. And you know, it is... It's a wonderful sacrifice, but there's times of a sacrifice to do those things, but it's doing it because who wouldn't want to do that for a grandchild? And it's wonderful to do because you have such fun with them. I have got my grandkids, and I pick up a couple of my daughters, Kaylee and Madeline, Dan and Heather's daughters, from school. And last year or so back, I started this thing. I don't know how it started. I don't know if it was them or if it was me. I want to blame them, but I think I got sometimes like that of a kid's thought, you know. Me? I did. Probably me, huh? But it was on that Friday, and you guys all know, I call Fridays French Fry Fridays. And we always go to McDonald's on Fridays when I pick them up, and we buy French fries for them. It's French Fry Friday. That started out really good for a few, and then all of a sudden, one of them says, I'd like to have a cheeseburger. French fries, cheeseburger. I want chicken nuggets. Okay. So these kids have kind of added to it, I think, you know? But who am I to say, no, it's just French Fry Friday. I want to be a good grandparent. I want my grandkids to love me, you know, like it's paw-paw, you know? And so we do the French Fry Friday. And I have even been told by them when I can't pick them up on a Friday, if it's Thursday, they go, Grandpa, since you can't pick us up tomorrow Friday, can we have French fries today? Sure we can. So we will move it to Thursday if we need to. And this past Thursday was our first go for the year of 1718. So I wasn't able to watch them on Friday. I had some training with the police department. And so Thursday I said, hey, of course it's probably because of me. Now I don't think I, yeah I did. I was going to say, I don't think I get anything, but I think I do. I said, hey, I'm not going to be with you tomorrow Friday. How about if we go to McDonald's today? Yeah! So we went to our McDonald's and we had fun. So Melissa finds a shirt online last night through Oshkosh that says Fridays or something like that. It's got fry, F-R-Y, thing of fries, and then day. I said, hey, somebody took my saying of French Fry Friday. So she said, I'm going to get those. I don't know if she will or not, but it is funny. But it's those things that you do with your grandkids and all. And, you know, maybe it's the blessing for me is because I have that time to do it to where, you know, I'm kind of spending, I've probably spent probably more times with my grandkids than I had with my kids in some respects and being able to help raise them or be there for them. And it's just a blessing from God and as God works. I know Dean is left out of that, working the full time where she's at, and her schedule doesn't allow a lot of shifting, does it? It's pretty well you're there from sundown to sun up plus if they would let her, you know, but they're not. But anyway, there's times that I'll take them and drop them and stop by maybe and run them in and see grandma or something like that. It just depends. But each one of them are all wonderful kids. And you do special things with them so that they kind of remember. I remember picking Josiah up a few times when I was on that detail as well. And I would take him around town. I'd take the long way to take him over to his grandma and grandpa Farney's. And I took him, and we would stop a few places. And I remember one time we stopped, and I took him to the rock at Monterey Rock there. And we walked up there, and I was telling him the stories. Now, the thing is, he has got such an imagination. This kid, he can tell you something, and he's making it up, and he'll make it sound like he knows what he's talking about, and I'll start believing him. This kid was in what, P4J? He was in P4J, telling me all kinds of things. I go, really? How did you know that? He's just rambling on like he's making the stuff up, man. It's like, wow. So you know, to the Monterey Rock with Josiah, and to Peace Park with some other kids, and Palmer Camden Park with Emma, and all those times that we get. I it's just wonderful. But as we carry through life, we find our times that God is there with us as well, even as we're at this age. And that, I hope, comforts us at this age that my God, the one I started serving when I was a few years younger, is still the same God that is with me to this day. He will be there to carry me. It says here, just a footnote I want to share, God reminds his special people that he was carrying or looking after them even before their birth. You know, when he was there, it talks about in our mother's womb. Isn't that awesome that we've got a God that was there with us, a God that knows us from the beginning. Before I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, it says. He knows us as we've come out of that womb and become children and people and adults and now families and things. He knows us to the day as well. He continues to do this all of our lives. Now, when we're looking at this in Isaiah, this is a scripture is at the end of where it is speaking of Cyrus would carry out God's judgment against Babylon. Babylon had several gods. If you go into the Old Testament and what they honored and worshipped and all, they had gods that they were idols. And really, of course, they had no power. Today, I just want to reflect on the fact that God who created us and cares for us will do so throughout our entire lifetime. So from those that are just being formed in their mother's womb to the times of being a child, as well as those that are going into their teens, as well as into the young adults, and now into senior adults, God will care for us. What a caring God. No age is too old or too young for him. Amen? So that should encourage us grandparents. Because sometimes we get to this age and we think, well, what about me? You know, who's looking out for me? God is, and he continues to. Can you say amen? Amen? As we get to this part here that I want to share as we kind of get to the end of just a little bit about Grandparents' Day, knowing how important people are to God and how the history and how things, the lineage and people and what they do and accomplish. In 2 Timothy 1:5, I hope that cricket's getting some out of this today. He's worshiping. He's just praising. I see his little hands. Well, I think, is that how they're making noise? They rub those things together? Yeah. He's praying. You don't? It's a sound effect we have in our services. It's kind of a special thing. It's they call it white noise. It's just like a subliminal thing. Like, you guys will go out of here going home going, you know, when I was at that church today, it seemed like I just kept hearing cricket. Did you? Yes, it was really there. They're all over the building. Let me tell you, they come in these little cracks in our doors, and I find them along the baseboard. You can clean them out, sweep them out, kill them and all, and then come back the next day, and they're there again. And it's kind of like, you know, you kind of know when fall's coming because they all start migrating in. You know, they're like, okay. So, in 2 Timothy 1:5, I remember, I'm reading in the Amplified, 2 Timothy 1:5. I remember your sincere, and this is Paul talking in regards to Timothy. I remember your sincere and unqualified faith, the surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ with a confident trust in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness, a faith, which first lived in the heart of your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am confident that it is you as well. New King James says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. We find here that a Christian's upbringing and a spiritual family atmosphere are a deciding advantage. We're finding history there. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's saying, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. See, we can pass down these things of God to our kids and to our grandkids. Amen? I have a wonderful time. It always works out, you know. I get to take for first part of the week, for a couple of days, I get to take Emma to school because of schedules and work and bless their hearts. I don't know, kids are going everywhere, right? So I get to take her to school. And last year or so when I started this, we'd be driving and, you know, Grandpa, I make up songs, I make up stories. That's probably why Josiah does so well. It's like I met my match. It's like, hey, I believe that, because it's like sometimes I tell a story and the kids will go, really, Grandpa? And I go, no. But I get the honor, and it's a privilege. Grandkids, remember, these are grandkids. So I get to take Emma. And as I'm taking her to school, I'll say, hey, Emma, let's pray. What do you want to pray about today? Or I'll say, hey, let's pray for all your cousins, you know? And so I'm driving with my eyes open. And Emma's in the back seat, and I just begin to pray and lift them up. Father God, I just thank you for this wonderful day. And Lord, I just want to lift up Josiah and Isaac and Anna and Kaylee and Madeline. Go through the whole of Aaron, you know, listing Emma and even our step-grandkids. And one time I forgot one of them. Somewhere along the line, I didn't conclude it with all of them. And Emma's in the back seat, and she goes, well, what about, whatever the name was, I don't know for sure which one it was, what about Anna? I said, well, I'm sorry, I just skipped over, I'm sorry, you know. And we pray for that. But there is that time, as I read this, that hopefully she is receiving some of my faith of understanding of, hey, you can talk to God. And as I share with Dean at times, she talks about how it's a good thing that, you know, you're taking her and that you have that prayer time with her and that you're telling her. And I talk to her as I'm taking her to school about how God is so good and you know, how much God takes care of you and we pray for you. And I know Emma's got, you know, some health concerns and things like that and keeping her in prayer for that. But just to let them know. And now I'm going to tell you, there's times when this starts out. Actually, I think it was this first time or so we've started out to where I didn't pray and about 2 or 3 miles down the road, she'll say, hey, Grandpa. I go, yeah. She goes, let's pray. Now, wow. Okay. I remember your sincere... Well, let me go back. I'll read out of the New King James. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also. As grandparents, we can affect our families with regards to their faith walk. As grandparents, you can do that. You were charged with the responsibility to raise your children, God-fearing. I think we were charged with the responsibility as grandparents to share that faith and God's message with our grandkids, that they see it in us. The same faith that we have and hold on to can be seen in the younger members of our families. It's great to go out to dinner with some of our kids or lunch and whatnot, and there some of our kids will say a prayer or a blessing. Josiah, Isaac. I think, I don't know if Anna's gotten into it. I think she even says a prayer, I think, at times, you know, that they have that thing. And, you know, see, what are we instilling in our kids? You can instill a couple of things. You can instill the things of the world, or you can instill the things of God. What is important to you may just become important to them. Amen. So if God is important in your life, God could very well become important in theirs. Now, just as our kids, even our grandkids, they all have a choice, a freedom of choice. And they may not choose to serve God. And you might pray, and you might do this, and you might do all kinds of things as a good example, and it just didn't hit at that time. But then we've got to realize and think that, you know what? That seed was planted. And don't give up. And don't throw in the towel. Keep them in your prayers. Call that seed back to growth. You know, water that seed, Lord, that I planted in that grandchild, you know, 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Keep watering it, Lord, until it comes to fruition, until it begins to sprout, until it begins to grow. See, we've got that in us. And so what do we want to instill in our next generation? As our family grows and as we have kids and now we have grandkids, we want to instill, I hope, godly moral values and things of where where we're at and where the world is at. I always hope our kids see us a little different. I hope our kids see us as maybe into the natural thing, they might see us kind of quirky or whatever they call that, you know, because it's like, well, you're not like the rest of the kids' parents, you know, they do this or that, or they don't care about that, or they don't pray when we go to their house, they just start diving in, you know. I mean, we've had times to where the kids will wait until someone prays, or if somebody starts eating and then somebody say, hey, we haven't prayed yet, you know. It's the kids just watching these things. You know this already, that your kids, and especially your grandkids, are watching you. When I see little Addison always fixated on me and watching me, she's watching me because, I don't know, she likes me, I guess. I make faces at her. Last night she came over for just a little bit, and I started going, like that. And then Melissa's holding her, and Addison's starting to make some noises, like, ah, and so Melissa's going, la, 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 la. So Addison's going, la, 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 and I go, and then she goes, la, 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 la. So we were having, like this cricket, we had our own conversation going. I don't know what I was saying. I don't know what I promised her. We'll find out, I guess, you know. But it's those fun times. It's those times that you can be human, that you can be joyful, that you can have love for your kids, or your, now we're talking about grandkids, and let them see that and be there for them. But it's like, we realize even at our ages now that we can't call back yesterday. No matter what we would like to do and change yesterday's of how we raised our kids or what we could have done different, it ain't going to happen. But you can look at today and the future and say, but let's work on today and tomorrow and do those things. Maybe now we get the blessings of our grandkids to do that for those that are grandparents. I know our kids say, ah, you're spoiling them. You know, we got a lot of things out there about that. Yeah, that's not spoiling. That's just special love. That's, yes, love. So Timothy's mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, they were early Christian converts. Probably and possibly back during the time of Paul's ministry in their home city. You can find that in Acts 16 and 1. They had communicated their strong Christian faith to Timothy, even though his father, it says here, probably was not a believer. Even if there's one believer in the household, you can't impact that next generation. Amen? It doesn't take two. It's great if the two are on the same plane and you're, you know, tag-teaming this thing as Christian values and moralities and just values and showing God's love. But if it's just one, the father or the mother or vice versa, whatever, one can impact. If one can put 1,000 to flight, in God's word, right? Two can put what? 10,000. Well, if you're just that one in that family and your spouse maybe isn't quite where you would like, wherever, don't give it up and say, well, there's no way this is going to take into my kids or my grandkids or whatever. You just do what God has asked you to do and be that example. But as we find here that possibly his father wasn't really that much of a believer. So don't hide your light at home. Our families are fertile fields for planting the seeds of salvation and the good news. And Jesus gives us these things. Because what he has given us today in our own personal life, we take that and we want to give it. Amen? Don't you, when you get something good, you want to pass it on to somebody? Hey, there's a great sale at such and such a store. You might want to go there. Hey, I just was over here and they had some wonderful produce. It was really in season. It was fresh. You might want to get there before you want to tell people good things. You want to help them and direct them into things that you think they would like. We do that same thing with the things of God, with the gospel message. You want to share it with them. Don't cram it down the throat. Don't force it down the throat. You want to make it so pleasing that they want to ask for more. You want to share just enough of the gospel. They want to see enough of the gospel in your life to where they come up, and I hope I have a grandchild or grandson or daughter sometime maybe come and say, Grandpa, tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more about God. That's that interest that they have. Now, I don't want to go down there and say, I didn't say, Emma, to make it a rule, if I'm going to take you to school, you've got to pray. It's good for you. No. You just ask them and say, wouldn't this be nice, or is it okay, you know, with the different kids and their grandkids? So be that example. Give them enough to make them hungry for more, and let them see the joy. And they will probably one day ask you, Grandpa, Grandma, how can you be so happy? It's the joy of the Lord. I've served him for X number of years. I wish it would have been longer because I came to him later in life. But those years that I've had with him in my later of life have been good years. And as much as he has not remembered my past, why should I? Let's just remember where I'm at with him today. So don't hide your light at home. Our families are fertile fields for planting the seeds of salvation. The good news that Jesus gives us. To make an impression, it may not be with the words you speak, but how you live those words in your daily walk. How do those grandkids see you when things are going on? How do they see you approaching things? And to try to glean that, because they're mirroring that. I tell you, you watch your kids mirror you. And I know my grandkids do, because there's times they say, don't, you know, I got adults around me. Don't do that, you're going to teach them the wrong thing. But it's fun. We'll send them home to their kids. It's okay. We'll send them. But it is a blessing. I think of all the things that I would have in my life, I would not want to trade anything for the kids that I've got, nor the grandkids that I've got. You could say, here's $1 million. I'd say, well, No. No, they're worth, they're what would you call that? They're priceless, thank you. They're priceless. Nothing in this world. And so as I get back to that last here, it says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged man. And I thank God for what he's given me as a crown. It takes a lot of work. But usually things that are good take work, right? Becomes really easy. You don't really appreciate it as much as when you have to work and sometimes fight for it and struggle for it. But so as we look at this in Grandparents' Day, don't let it just be a Hallmark day so they can sell a card. I've kind of boycotted Hallmark. I don't even want to buy cards anymore. Just like tell them. Just tell them what you think, or send a little message on a text or an email or something like that, you know. I try to tell my kids, don't, you know, cards are nice and all that, but, you know, if you don't want to do that or you can't do that and financially this or that, you know, it's you can just call and text. I've had my, even my son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, they send, you know, just a text, you know, and it's appreciative. It's very nice. Let me pray and then we'll have time for communion here. Heavenly Father,